but he's joining us today on a positive Friday. Andrew, welcome to the show. How you doing, my friend?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Three games left before the All-Star break, and they're 10 games over 500, just two games back of the division lead, Baltimore Orioles. Andrew, at the beginning of the season, is this where you thought the Jays would be around the All-Star break?
It sort of is, to be honest, but I think I was more on the optimistic end of the spectrum. I really kind of believed in Marcus Stroman, which has been a bit of a hiccup for the club. But, you know, I really believed in the offense and the fact that they were virtually the same team that was just beating up on everybody last year. I know people sort of had questions about the starting pitching, and I can't claim that I had any sort of special insight as to how well Marco Estrada would continue to pitch, or Jay Happ, who's been brilliant, or Aaron Sanchez has been fantastic, and they really carried the team. So it's kind of happened in a way that I didn't expect, but I thought they were going to be a pretty good team. I thought they'd be better than the Orioles, and right now that hasn't been the case. But this streak has been terrific, and they're really looking the part of a playoff contender.
You mentioned Marcus Stroman. On Wednesday night, he throws eight innings, only gives up three hits and two earned runs, six strikeouts. He's 7-4. His ERA is probably a lot higher than he would hope, as is his whip. But how would you describe the season so far for Marcus Stroman?
You know, he's a young pitcher, and I think there was a lot of hype about him, obviously, coming in and coming back last year and being so great in the playoffs. And as a guy that, you know, in his first season really was tremendous once they put him into the starting rotation and sort of let him go. And, you know, the young players will sometimes have bumps in the road, and that's what sort of happened to him this year, I think. I don't know that he's necessarily entirely out of the woods yet, but the last few starts have definitely been more encouraging. The balls haven't been getting hit nearly as hard. I like seeing a little more strikeout from him than maybe we've seen so far. You know, the swing and miss has been better lately, but I think that's an area where he maybe could use some improvement as well. But as bad as it was for a few weeks there, it seems like he's turned it around. It seems like he's been able to get on top of the ball more and keep the balls, you know, lower in the zone, which is really important for him, especially, you know, everybody always talks about his height. That's for a reason, because of the angle and the downward plane that a pitcher needs to throw the ball with. I mean, if it doesn't move downward towards the zone, it's flat, and it's a little easier to hit for guys, and it makes it real easy to hit if you accidentally leave it up a bit. So it's been a struggle for him, I think, and we probably were a bit naive in thinking that maybe he would come in and just hit the ground running and never look back. These kind of bumps in the road always happen with young players, or often do. But I think it's been encouraging, at least the last few starts. If you'd asked me that a couple weeks ago, I might have had a different answer, though.
Andrew, where would the Blue Jays be if their bullpen hasn't struggled as much as it has so far this season?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, it's come together, I think, quite well in the last month or so. You know, they really have guys who can just provide that bridge to the ninth inning, to Roberto Osuna. You know, Jason Grilley's been pitching quite well. Brett Cecil coming back is huge for them, especially him coming back and looking like the guy that we saw last year and the year before. But yeah, early on, it was a real struggle. And that seems to be a trend for the Blue Jays. And I think the way that it necessarily has to happen for teams that sort of build their bullpen on the cheap, the way that the Jays choose to do. They don't really invest a lot of money in their relievers. They figure that they can find guys. This is an Alex Anthopoulos thing before. And now the new front office seems to be going the same way, or at least they did this year. Which means it takes a little bit of time to sort out, you know, who really deserves the late inning high leverage role, and it feels like that's, you know, been a lot more solidified quite a bit over the last few weeks. But you're right; I think there were a lot of winnable games early in the season that, had the bullpen been a little bit better, they could really have, you know, been running and hiding from the rest of the division. I mean, I think they're that strong a team.
We're joined by Andrew Stone from Blue Jays Nation. The Blue Jays have won six straight. All-Star break, they're all against the Detroit Tigers. First pitch tonight, just after 5 o'clock in Edmonton. Another team in the AL East that's struggling by their standards is the Yankees. They're a game under 500, but they have something that the Blue Jays might need in a strong bullpen. I know the non-waiver deadline is coming up. Could you see the Blue Jays and Yankees potentially making a move for one of the three beasts the Yankees have in their bullpen?
Oh, I don't think Dylan Betances can go anywhere, but yeah, the other two guys might be trade chips for the Yankees. I think it would be smart for the Yankees to move, or to at least think about moving those guys, depending on what kind of offers they're getting. And that's what's going to complicate things for the Blue Jays, in addition to the fact that, you know, they're a team in the division, and I think that's it shouldn't necessarily be an impetus to making a trade, but I think it often is. I think the Blue Jays would regret or would hate to give up a big prospect to the Yankees and watch him, you know, blossom and play for cheap for 6 years and be a real piece that comes back and kills them. So it's tough to make a trade in a division like that, which is unfortunate because those two guys, Chapman and Andrew Miller, are so fantastic and would be so perfect for the Blue Jays right now. And the other issue is just the fact that the coverage is a little bit bare in terms of prospects because they traded so many last year. And also because I think that the new front office is really invested in rebuilding the pipeline of talent and is maybe holding the prospects a little more closely than a team, you know, most teams would, especially the Blue Jays last year, if you think about that. I mean, Alex Anthopoulos was ready to deal everybody. I think Mark Spiro and Ross Atkins are a little more conservative in that way generally, and I think the fact that there are so few prospects in the system means that they're probably going to be especially conservative this year. So I'm not really expecting huge splashes at the trade deadline for the Jays, unfortunately.
With the deadline approaching, there's now reports out of the Jays are once again on the Jay Bruce train. According to John Heyman, the Jays might still be working on Jay Bruce. If they are able to land Bruce, how would their lineup look? I know it depends on obviously who they'd be sending out, but would that be a good addition for the Jays?
I think it would be a good addition to the Jays. I mean, I was kind of against it when they basically made the deal for him with Michael Saunders, and I think Saunders' knee was what eventually put the kibosh on that. You know, Bruce has had a nice bounce-back season. I think his defense is a little bit declining these days, but the power is still there. He's a guy who could be very useful to the Blue Jays, I think, for sure. I don't know how the lineup would necessarily look. I mean, the lineup is sort of strange at the moment anyway. You know, you have Tulo, who's been on fire, batting below Russell Martin still a lot of nights, which is fine because they're just going to score runs no matter how the lineup is put together, I think. So adding a guy like Jay Bruce would be, I think, a good thing for the Blue Jays, but also it raises a question in the back of my mind. You know, what does that mean for what they think about the recovery timeline for Jose Bautista is? Because I would assume that that's a guy who's coming in to play some right field and allow Bautista some more time to heal and maybe to play some DH a bit.
Andrew Stone from Blue Jays Nation joins us. Over the last 30 days, reigning AL MVP Josh Donaldson has kind of shown why he's the reigning AL MVP. What have you made of his play in the last 30 games when he's batting over 400? He's whacking the cover off the ball. He's really looking a lot like he did late last year.
It's true, you know, and he's a guy, I have a podcast that I do every week, and we tend to overlook him. We don't talk about him. And it's strange because he's just so great. It's just right under our noses, and it's like you just expect him to be as great a ball player as he is. It's really remarkable. You know, I think if you look at his wins above replacement, he's up there with the league leaders again. You know, he's having a really similar season to Mike Trout, who is already, you know, almost 25 and literally one of the all-time greats, basically. I mean, Mike Trout is incredible. And Donaldson's putting up the same kind of numbers as him, you know, albeit at third base instead of center field. But he plays a great third base as well. And, you know, there are plays in the field that, you know, make your jaw drop every night, I think, from Donaldson as well, from Tulowitzki. But, yeah, Donaldson has looked terrific, and I don't think it's a coincidence that the Jays have really sort of hit another gear as his season has really blossomed and started to look a lot like he did last year.
Andrew Stone from Blue Jays Nation joins us. Andrew, how much have Blue Jay fans embraced Michael Saunders? Obviously, he's a Canadian kid. He's having quite the season. Is he one of the bigger fan favorites right now?
I think so. Judging by my Twitter timeline today, I mean, people were really getting excited about, you know, pushing him for this all-star vote that's going on right now. I think they've just closed, earlier in the hour. I think people are really, they're naturally going to be inclined to like a Canadian guy, and he's had a great breakout season. I think it's been unexpected. You know, I kind of always had high hopes for him as a player. He's a guy who's had a lot of talent, had some success when he's been able to stay on the field, and obviously he hasn't been healthy. Last year, I think he only got into 9 games. So it was a guy that people kind of I took a little bit to warm up to, but if you're going to produce the way that he's been producing this year, what's not to like?
At the beginning of the season, with obviously the changes that were made in the front office, I said that would be, if the Blue Jays were struggling around the All-Star break, I wouldn't be surprised if they made a change at the manager position. But right now, as I said, they're 10 games up, 1-6-8 heading into All-Star break. What do you think of the job that John Gibbons has done in Toronto this year? Now there's kind of a microscope on the Jays, as now they've, especially with last season, they've really kind of jumped onto the baseball scene. How has John Gibbons handled the first half of this season?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think his job was maybe not in jeopardy earlier on, but I think anytime there's a front office change, the manager wasn't their guy, so you're going to have people wondering what they really think about Givens. And you know, they looked at the hiring of Eric Wedge, who's been on the player development side in the front office for the Jays, you know, former big league manager, is a guy who's maybe looking over Gibby's shoulder. Givens, I love Givens as a character. Like, I think all the reporters here really like him. I think he's a good quote. He's just a fun, laid-back guy, and he is what he is. What you see on TV, I think, is what John Givens is. And for me, that's great. I think the players love playing for him. Those are things that are hard to quantify. It's really hard to sort of quantify what a manager actually does. The microscope that you mentioned, I think, comes down to basically bullpen management a lot. And, you know, I was not as thrilled with his bullpen management last year in the playoffs as I could have been. And that might be something that comes up again this year. Hopefully, if the Jays make the playoffs and continue to play as well and, you know, down the stretch, I would clearly give him a passing grade. But you're right that there's going to be more scrutiny just the better that the team is and the more important that the games are. It'll be interesting to watch how people really start to think about Givens just with stakes that high and how he uses his relievers, because I think that's, you know, the most important point, or the one point that fans can see what a manager does and its effect on the field.
They continue their series with the Detroit Tigers tonight. Is there any pitching matchups over this weekend that you're really looking forward to watching?
No, you know, I think Drew Hutchison was really the one that I was most curious about to pitch last night. It pitched very well. I was a little wary of, I call it the Randy Wolf League sometimes, because Randy Wolf just ate up the International League last year. I mean, it is AAA. It's a lot of guys who can throw slop and get those hitters out, because if they were better hitters, they would be in the big league. So I kind of took Hutchison's success at the AAA level this year with a grain of salt. But, you know, 7 strikeouts, you can't say anything bad about that. Just the 1 walk last night. He looked really solid. He looked like a guy who is better than your average 6th starter, which I think is a great thing for the Blue Jays, especially considering the big decision that's coming up for them with Aaron Sanchez, who, you know, is another guy who you have to watch pitch. It's must-see TV at this point because he's just been so tremendous as well.
And one last one for you, focusing on a team you don't cover, but the New York Mets has announced that Matt Harvey's having season-ending surgery on his shoulder. The Mets are 2nd in the NL East, chasing the Nationals. How big of a blow is this to the Mets?
Yeah, it's a huge blow. I mean, Harvey had not quite been the Matt Harvey that we remember, I think, this year. But, yeah, that's a huge thing. I mean, they have such a wealth of pitching that maybe I'm overstating it, but I think that's a big blow for the Mets. And it's interesting to think about it as Jays fans and as looking at Aaron Sanchez that I just mentioned, because Harvey was a guy where that was a question about shutting him down last year. And what you see is, you know, that you can do all the right things and pitchers still get hurt. Pitchers just get hurt. So I think that's a lot of what's going into the opposition that people have to the idea of having Aaron Sanchez shut down, because sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. And making an artificial innings limit on a guy maybe doesn't help you any more than not.
Andrew, I appreciate your time. Thanks for this. Enjoy the rest of, the weekend for the Blue Jays. Enjoy the All-Star break, and we'll chat with you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, man.
Andrew Stoughton from BlueJaysNation.com.